Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal with your hosts, Sherry Peng and Jason O'Fear. Explore with us the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and Bigfoot. You can also call into the show at 215-383-3999 and join the discussion.
Well, greetings everyone in internet land. I'm Jason O'Fear and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. You're the talented Sherry Peng. Sherry, how was your week?
Oh, pretty good. Very, very good. Very productive, and I'm really feeling really, really good. So, how was your week, Jason?
It was pretty good. Busy as usual at work and having a relaxing weekend. Caught up on some movies, but the weekend's over, so I got to go back tomorrow. It's kind of work. Wouldn't life be grand if you have to work? Work kind of stuff.
Well, work, it keeps you busy, I don't know. You know, I kind of, yeah, you sound like you're caught in the rat race, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've turned, and it messes with my sleep, so.
Oh, wow.
I want to be living on my own island, and
you're cutting in and out, Jason.
Oh. Anyway, I don't know. We've been having some problems with my to the show. I don't know what it is. Am I still cutting out?
A little bit. Just a little bit. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. Is it your connection or is it maybe from the radio station's connection? What do you think is what's going on?
Well, normally I Skype in and that doesn't appear to be working. So the only other option to call in is to direct connect, which is just through an internet that seems to be inferior than. I think it's just the connection type that I have to direct connect. But I keep my quiet tonight if it cuts in and out too bad. But you have a good evening.
I'm sorry, you're cutting in and out again. I'm sorry, what did you say? Let me introduce our guest. Okay. Our guest this evening is our first time special guest. Her name is Analia Jackson. And she's a shamanic practitioner. She specializes in soul retrieval. And I just want to mention on air to the listeners and viewers tonight, I had my personal journey with her. I've never really had a soul retrieval, per se, in Native American sense. And I had an experience with her. And I have to say, it was quite an enlightening experience. And I really feel right now, still, I'm still not in my body. I'm getting the soul pieces still working in putting together to help me become more whole. But it was absolutely amazing, and I just want to rave. I just can't thank her enough for not only her just a down-to-earth and very loving personality, but also guiding me through the process of finding my soul pieces and bringing myself in a more whole state of mind. So anyway, we're going to bring her on. And Jason, I don't know if I can hear you or you can hear me, but go ahead and connect her.
You sound fine, so I'll have to get to the bottom of why it's doing this. So
you're fine now, but just go ahead, okay? So I'll help you out.
All right. You're live on Paranormal Horizons. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome. Hi, Analia.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
Very good, very good. I thought about you today, and I can't thank you enough for the wonderful experience. And I'm still in awe, and I'm still not, like I said, not put together yet. Oh, it's amazing.
Well, it's my pleasure. Really one of my favorite things to do. I've seen so many beautiful outcomes from that work.
Well, you do have a very valuable gift and talent for this. It's just amazing, and the way you really connect with the Native Americans and the totems, and it's just a really lovely ceremony. I've never been to one like this, and I just really I feel a connection with the Native American culture and the spirituality sense. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about what you do, and we're going to try and inform our listeners and viewers what is Shamanic Journey. What can they learn from it, and just a little bit more information and just to help people if they decide they want to try it out.
Okay. Well, I think I'd like to start with the idea that the shamanic practice that I do is really core shamanism. I've been taught by a teacher named Jan Inglesmith in the Northwest. She's in Portland, and she is with a school called Light Song School of 21st Century Shamanism and Energy Medicine. And so we study a core shamanism that's traditions and ceremony from all over the world, from Peru, from Siberia, the Native Americans. And it's really a study of energy medicine, of energy and how it works. It's an earth medicine. So we study how this, energy affects us. So for us, we believe that our soul is, we're kind of encased in our soul. Alberto Viodo, who is a shaman who studied in the Amazon in Peru, he calls it the luminous energy field. And so we're kind of encased in this luminous energy field. And when we have a trauma, something that really upsets us, or we have a car accident or a very bad relationship breakup or something that really shocks us, traumatizes us, it's as if a wind comes through and kind of blows pieces of that luminous energy field, that of your own soul, into the environment around you. And this is a good thing in some ways, because it's a protective device to kind of numb you out a little bit so that you're not quite so present for the trauma and the intensity of what you're going through. But on another hand, it depletes you, because now you have less of your luminous energy field. You have less of your divine essence, which your soul is made up of, that has your signature on it and no one else's. And it's an energetic match for you. And it's what animates you and gives you wholeness and vitality. So as we go through our lives, we get more and more depleted of this soul essence. And what we do is we go, we work in a way of journeying into non-ordinary reality. So it's a ceremony where you have really worked on yourself through the years to connect with spirit and to know how to call in the directions and how to call in spirit and invoke spirit and really power up and fill the room with a creative sacred space and create this sacred container that has very high vibrating energy in it. And then we are more able to go into our trance, which is what the journey is. And that enables us to go into what we call non-ordinary reality, which is another dimension. And we do this by going with our power animal. So your power animal for a medicine woman or a medicine man or shaman is your spirit ally. They are your protector, your wise counselor. They are in the form of an animal because they have the characteristics and the traits that you most need, that are most in alignment with who you are and what work you do. And so my primary power animal is a panther. And that that power animal's with me all the time, wherever I go. We kind of have a saying in the school, never leave home without him. And it's this is a spirit ally, goes with you and kind of clears the way, gives you protection, gives you strength. They can assist you in overcoming challenges. Now, when I was trained to do soul retrieval, which is a ceremony to help others come to wholeness and more vitality, you do journeys to find out what power animal is your soul retrieval power animal. And for me, my primary power animal, the panther, stayed with me, and a tiger joined the panther. So I work with two power animals in my soul retrievals.
And, well, I remember when we were going through mine, my experience with you, I found out just even before we started journey, it was a cougar. Is that correct? I think that was like the mountain lion, puma, cougar.
Yep, correct. Mm-hmm.
And so I call that upon me all the time. And towards the end, I also remember that the bear and the butterfly. So I put that on my personal Facebook page and my Medium Sherry page just because it's really significant. It was really meant for that, for those to be in my life. And it were very evident when we were going through the journey.
It's really wonderful. I mean, it's such a great feeling. I did a soul retrieval today for a woman, and when it came time, you know, towards the end of the ceremony, when we do go and find her power animal for her, when I said what the power animal was, she gasped. And I thought, oh, no, something, you know, did that disturb her? Did that scare her? And she said, you're not going to believe this, but before I left the house, I saw that animal. I saw a vision of that animal. And so it's really wonderful when you get confirmations like that, you know, this animal was beginning to make itself known to her even before she got to me. And
it's
so that was a and that seems to be what happened with you as well. But soul retrieval is very relevant for the 21st century. A lot of people are still unaware of this ceremony and what it is and how it works, and many, you know, are kind of suspicious of it, but it's basically bringing back your own energy, your own vital essence, so that you can become more whole and more centered, more vital, and you know, overcome many conditions that kind of happen as a result of being depleted of your own soul essence. So things like depression, chronic depression, or a lack of self-confidence, or, you know, just going through life and having, you know, bad fortune over and over and over again, having trouble overcoming different issues in your life, can all be signs that there's soul loss, and that soul retrieval could help maybe reverse those conditions.
Is there any way for somebody like me to figure out what their power animal is, like on their own, or do you have to see?
Absolutely. No, you don't need, you know, I just taught a class today. I teach, when I have so many people going for soul retrievals, I feel guilty when I just send them off into the world after their soul retrieval with their power animal, and they really don't know what to do with the power animal. So I decided to start doing basic journeying classes for self-care. So this is very elementary beginning classes, teaching people how to do basic journeying, the basic journey skills, so that they can go on a journey safely and work with their power animal and build a relationship. And one of the students in the class today had not had a soul retrieval. And, you know, I had not gone on the journey to find their soul retrieval. The way we figured out what the soul retrieval was that this person had collected his whole life pictures of an eagle, of a golden eagle. And when the person came into the room, I sensed eagle energy, eagle medicine with this person. And then I have them do a journey and go in search of this animal and see what happens. And sure enough, the eagle did appear and appeared in a very, very powerful way. Appeared in a larger than life and appeared kind of mystical and glowing and radiant, and said and did some certain things in the journey that confirmed that, yes, that truly was his power animal. So if you have spent your life collecting posters of tigers or statues of horses, or, you know, then that's a good sign that that's probably one of your power animals. The other thing that I like to say, too, is that in America, in modern-day America, a lot of people kind of scoff at the idea of power animals or power, you know, animal totems. But I like to remind them that really this is very common in our culture. That's why we name football teams Broncos and Rams, and we have cars that are called Mustangs and Jaguars. This is kind of a leftover knowledge of how powerful animals have always been to it on Earth, you know, in our human experience. And so we're still using power animals in a modern day way.
I've always been drawn to horses. I was just the meaning or what the attributes to the horse would be if somebody's power animal.
Well, for horse, because you were cutting out a little bit, and I think you're talking about horse.
Yeah.
Horse is generally moving forward. It's, you know, because the horse in our culture, in our world, is known for moving our people forward. When horse was brought to the Americas, everything progressed. You know, buffalo hunting became much more efficient and faster. Protecting the tribe became easier, and it became a source of wealth if you owned horses in a tribe. So horse usually means action and movement forward and power. And so it's really easy to find out other characteristics that are assigned to animals by just Googling them. You know, you can Google horse totem or horse power animal. And also, it depends on what color the horse is. So if you have a white horse, it connects to the sun and daylight and brightness and power in that way. A black horse would be more like nighttime and stealth and has other attributes. So, so it's pretty much moving forward.
Still cutting out, Sherry?
Yes, you are. I didn't know what you were saying. It was a pause there, and I wasn't sure whether I needed to talk or it was. sorry about that. Oh my goodness, very interesting.
I'll keep my questions to a minimum. I don't know what the problem is, so.
Yeah, you're fine now. Maybe
so
you can
strange.
Just yourself. But you're finding horses, huh, Jason?
Well, I've always been drawn to horses, and
okay.
I feel a connection to horses. So I was wondering if perhaps that could be one of my power animals.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Totally. That is one sure sign that probably is your power animal, and that you probably had this animal hanging around for quite a while, wanting your attention and hoping that you'll someday become conscious of horse totem so that you could actively start to work with the horse and build a relationship with the horse. So these power animals they're in non-ordinary reality. So they aren't governed by the same laws and rules that we have in three-dimensional reality and what we call ordinary reality. A horse in power animal can talk, can answer your questions, can swim underwater, can fly through the sky. They have mystical powers. They're not bound by the three-dimensional reality. And so they are your spirit ally. They're your your best friend. They're your protector. They're your wise counselor. And so today in the class that I was teaching, I was teaching journeying for self-care. I would never teach a class on becoming a practitioner at this point. I would send them to my school where I was taught. But I just like to teach people to journey for themselves after they've had a soul retrieval, specifically to build that relationship with the power animal, because as it's like building a muscle, you know, the more you work out and lift weights, the stronger that muscle becomes. But it's the same thing with power animals and journeying. The more you do it, the more you go into the portal and spend time in non-ordinary reality, journeying with your power animal, the more you get to know these spirit allies, these power animals, as a real true power in your life, a real true friend, a real true ally, a real true wisdom being that can give you accurate answers and can give you protection, can give you support. And in this day and age, we all need to become our own medicine people. We need to have our own medicine bag and have things in that medicine bag where we can cope and we can empower ourselves, get our own answers, and initiate our own healings, and just use that power animal to sometimes also reduce some stress in our lives. Like a lot of times when I know traffic's going to be really bad and I've got to get someplace quickly, I'll send my panther ahead of me and say, please clear a path for me. Go ahead of me now and start making, you know, a path. And sure enough, when I remember to do that, you know, because I forget too, you know, why didn't you use your power animal? But when I remember and say, hey, send the power animal ahead, I will find all of these holes in traffic that I can fit in and move more swiftly, or I'll find big spaces of clear space on the freeway that normally wouldn't be there at that time of day. And I've done it so many times that it's, you know, it's not a coincidence anymore. I know it's working. You know, everything from, you know, helping me to clear traffic, helping me to get somewhere on time. Often I used to work in corporate America, and I would always bring my power animal into board meetings and have the power animal sitting straight in front of me, kind of filtering whatever was coming at me, you know, in that meeting, if it was a difficult meeting, and helping me to identify things that I needed to be aware of. Like I would say to them, reveal to me what I need to know. And sure enough, you know, information would be brought to me that normally wouldn't be, but I was working with the power animal and saying, I'm asking you to give me wise counsel, reveal to me what I need to know, help me to be clear about this situation and to see what's going on and bring me the truth. When we were trained with our power animals, we were blindfolded and put in a forest, and we had to walk through that forest blindfolded, and there were some ravines in that forest that we could have fallen and gotten hurt, but they did station people all through the forest to catch us or to, you know, get us before we go off a cliff. But still, it was pretty intimidating, but I learned, that was the best lesson I ever learned about how to work with a power animal, was to be blindfolded and have to work your way out of that forest without taking the blindfold off, by just seeing that power animal in your mind's eye and working with the power animal to get out of that forest. And the minute they put the blindfold on me, it was like a TV screen came in front of my vision, and I could see the haunches, the back of the panther. And I said to myself, all right, follow this panther step by step. Where he steps, you step. Do not leave, do not leave this area behind the panther. Just stay right there. Step where he steps, and he'll pull you through just fine. And sure enough, he did. I walked at a pretty fast clip and made it through safely. I never tripped on a root. I never stepped on a rock. I just smoothly went through the whole forest and came out the other side. It was a good 30-minute walk. You know, it was a fairly big space we were in this forest. And it was a huge lesson in trusting the power animal and trusting yourself to believe what you were seeing. Because often we doubt ourselves and we think, oh, am I making this up? Oh, this can't be real. But when you stop doubting and you just trust the power animal and trust that it's real, believe in them and just, you know, focus in on them and follow them through, they are going to bring you through safely. You know, you are the, you belong to them, they belong to you, and you're just kind of, you become this very fine-tuned precision team.
So let me ask you, Aaliyah, with this power animal, is this like, okay, so let's say my main power animal is the cougar. Is this cougar, is assigned like a spirit guide? Is it assigned to me, or does he travel with other people? How does that work?
No, this particular cougar is your cougar, yours specifically.
Okay.
And he's here for you. He's assigned to you. It's kind of like you've heard of guardian angels and different, you know, spiritual entities like that that are assigned to you and are your guardian angel. Well, that's how a power animal works. And often we've had our power animals for many lifetimes, and they return with us, you know, many, many times. So I've had this panther that I have now for many lifetimes. And once I became acquainted with the panther, many of my past lives started to become more alive in my mind. I was remembering them. I was remembering, everything became very familiar. I was familiar with the power animal. It was like I was remembering the power animal and his personality and how to work with him. And it was more like a remembering rather than a learning about power animals. It was like I was remembering him.
Wow.
Do these power animals have names? Like, can you figure out a name so you can identify them, or do you just refer to them as
It depends. All mine have names, and it took me a while to get their names. You know, because you're journeying and you're hearing sounds, and sometimes they don't have names like George. You know, they're more exotic and it takes you a little while to really identify what it is you're hearing. My panther's name is K2, and it happens to be the same name as in Vedic astrology for I believe it's the South Node, and the South Node deals with karma. So when I discovered that, I was like, oh, this makes perfect sense. You know, his name totally fit him, totally fit my circumstances. And it was a delight when I discovered his name. And then I have the tiger that works with K2 in soul retrieval. And his name just popped into my head loud and clear, like somebody had said it in my ear. And his name is Bander. And so Bander and K2 are my power animals' names. And some do have very traditional names. I have a white wolf that I work with in past life regression. And the white wolf's name is Alexander. But then I have Hawk that just has told me to call her Hawk. And I have a crow that his name is Asai. And a white egret whose name is Sky. And so it depends. Some just give me the name of the animal they are, like Hawk, and then others have more traditional names, and others have names that are connected to Africa or to astrology or to all kinds of things. It's been fascinating. I like for people to journey and in that relationship building time with their power animal to get to know their power animal's name themselves. But sometimes I'll get a name loud and clear from the get-go, and I'll let them know I heard this name. So you might start there and this is what they're telling me. They usually have messages at the end of the soul retrieval. They usually have a message for the person And they will let them know, I'm here for this reason. I'm here because you need more self-confidence, and we're going to build that together. Or I'm here because you are supposed to be a healer, and we're going to, we're going to discover what kind of healer you are together. And that's what my role is right now, is to help you discover that. So a lot of times they'll have a message, and they'll have homework for you. They'll say, I want you to do certain exercises and get to know me and spend every morning with me for so much time. And until our relationship gets to be more natural for you and more normal and stronger.
It's really fascinating. I would be really interested to figure out if I have other spirit animals. So they can pretty much aid you in anything. I mean, is it anything you desire, whether it be health, money? You can call upon these spirit animals, and they're always willing to help you with whatever you want. Is that how it works?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, they're not like genies where they're going to grant any wish that you give them. But they will assist you in understanding how to make more money, or why money is scarce at this time, or they will assist you in anything you ask them. They will assist you. Sometimes it won't be exactly an easy gift, like they're just going to help take you right over there and get it for you, but they may educate you as to why the situation is the way it is. Or they will come to your defense sometimes when you least expect it. All of a sudden, I'll see all of them walk into a room. One thing that I discovered a few years ago is when I do journeys or soul retrievals, I just started out with the tiger and the panther. And everything was wonderful, and I was learning to do soul retrieval, and I was practicing a lot, and I was, this was a long time ago, because I've been studying this since 2007. And as the years went by, more power animals would show up. And I didn't think a lot about it. I love animals anyway, so that's cool with me. The more the merrier. And Alexander came in, and he would show up at times in the soul retrieval. And my greatest joy is to relieve suffering and to help bring wholeness and vitality to people, help them to hear the story behind the story and to connect with spirit so that they get that feeling of being loved by the universe. And so all of a sudden, Alexander would come in, and I'd say, oh, wow, okay, Alexander's here, and now what are we doing? And invariably, whenever he showed up, we'd end up in old England, like at the Knights of the Round Table era, or we'd end up in Ireland in a different century, or we would end up in Egypt, or, some other country in some other century. And so I finally got the clue that, oh, when he shows up, it's past lifetime. But when the panther and the tiger are with me, we're staying pretty much in modern day, 21st century. And then I started working with Vietnam veterans and different people who had gone to war, and Hawk would all of a sudden show up. And invariably, when Hawk showed up, there was a curse to unravel. And I didn't catch on to that at first. I just thought Hawk was here coming in to start working with me in soul retrieval, but it always had to do with unraveling a curse or unraveling a vow or some darkness that had been placed on the person. And so after a while, I realized these guys are creating a coded language for me. And, one of the things I tell my students whenever I teach the journey for their self class is keep a journal and, write down every journey, because this becomes your personal guidebook for learning to journey and learning how to understand your power animals, because they speak in metaphors. And after a while, you'll see a trend, or you'll see a pattern, or you'll understand, oh, they're giving me their language, and now I know better what they mean when they're doing a certain thing, or they come in at a certain time. And it just makes your journey a little more accurate, a little more you know, a little more organized, to where you're like, oh, okay, I get it. We're going to past life now. Oh, now we're back in the 21st century. Oh, there must be a curse to unravel here. And you just become a precision instrument, kind of, in your journey. And it's
Can I ask you, can curses be from past lifetimes, too, that are brought from past to present?
Yes, they can, absolutely.
Okay.
And they carry over into other lifetimes. There's different kinds of curses. There's curses that are family curses, curses that follow a family. You know, like the Kennedy family is often seen as a family that was cursed.
Is it like tragedy after tragedy? Is that what happened?
Exactly. You saw that the first son, Jack Kennedy, died in an airplane crash, and then John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Robert Kennedy was assassinated. John Jr. died in an airplane crash. You know, it was just one thing after another, and it was usually the men that encountered these big tragedies.
And
so,
how do you break the curse if it happened?
Pardon?
How do you break the curse?
Well, when you are trained as a shamanic practitioner, there are special ceremonies and things that you do to unravel it. And so it's really kind of a sacred ceremony that it's kind of between you and your power animal. And you do not actually do the work as the practitioner. The power animal does all of it, because you don't want your signature on that, on the curse, because then that can come back.
Wow.
And so that's why we're very highly trained. You know, many years of different kinds of training that we go through in order to travel in these different worlds and do this different work. Soul retrieval is my favorite work, because it's happy work. It's joyful work. It's work where you go into non-ordinary reality with the power animals, and you go to different times in the person's life. So to go back to the beginning, the first thing I have a client do when they want a soul retrieval is to sit down and write an intention, because energy will follow intention. And that's true for 3D reality as well. You know, if you want to achieve something, you write the intention for that, or you think of the intention first, and then it's more likely that you will be able to manifest that result because you set an intention. For instance, when I was in corporate America, I was always a stickler about being punctual, being on time. So everywhere I went, I was 5 minutes or early. But then it came to a time in my job where I got very, very busy, and my job was very heavy. And all of a sudden, I was late all the time. And I sat down, I thought, what is going on? I really want to intend to be on time, but I'm always late lately. And I looked at my intentions, and I realized, well, you changed your intention from being 5 minutes early everywhere you went to getting as much done as you possibly could before you left. And so you would take one more email, one more phone call, talk to a staff member, five more minutes, and I was leaving late because my intention had changed to getting more done in the office before I left. And so with a soul retrieval, you want a very clear intention, because that is what spirit is going to go by. And then spirit knows how to fine-tune your soul retrieval to go exactly to where they needed to go in your lifetime or in your past lives to get back those soul pieces that are most in alignment with that intention. So, for instance, say a person is having a lot of trouble with self-confidence, and they write down their intention for the soul retrieval and say, I really want to have more self-respect, more self-worth, and more self-confidence. And that's their intention for the soul retrieval. I never have people read to me what their intention is. I have them put it straight on the altar without me seeing it, because I want them to have the confirmation at the end of the soul retrieval that I could not have made this up, because I didn't know what their intention was. And then we go into the journey, and, you know, the soul retrieval journey, and I'm speaking the whole time. I'm talking out loud so that the client can hear everything I'm saying, and hopefully they're also having a vision of what's going on. And I encourage my clients to talk to me, ask questions, tell me if something doesn't sound right, confirm to me if something is right on, because the more they talk, the more I can hone in on their energy field and open up, and the more download I get from spirit about details about that situation. So my job as a medicine woman is to get me out of the way and be what we call a hollow bone or a crystal clear channel. And so I'm trying to put me over to the side and just open up and really open the spirit and let them just come through for you. And so I go into the journey and I'm talking. I know that you've set your intention. It's on the altar. And I'm just I'm following the power animals. And they're walking through this wonderful jungle kind of like scene. And on the sides, there are these like flat screen TV kind of looking things. And each screen has a different picture on it. Some have like maybe old Portugal fishing village, and another one might have an elementary school in the 1980s, and another one might have a child's bedroom, and another one might be a neighborhood park. And I'm seeing these flat pictures on these screens, and the power animals are walking, and I'm waiting for them to walk into one of them, because the minute they turn and go into one of those screens and I follow them, it's like the picture becomes three-dimensional around me. Now I'm standing in that era of your life. So it could be your elementary school playground, and all of a sudden I'm looking at the black tar on the playground and the basketball hoops, and I'm seeing the four square painted on the ground, and I'm seeing the kids running and playing, and I'm seeing soul loss. So I can see your soul pieces around on the tar, on this asphalt. And I can tell how much soul has been lost by how many pieces I'm seeing. And I'm watching the power animals running around collecting them. And I'm talking out loud, and I'm saying, okay, I'm seeing this playground. I'm seeing all these kids and these basketball hoops. And I'm talking out loud, and then I'll say what I'm feeling happening. I'm sensing and I'm seeing that there was a bully, and he came over to you and he knocked you to the ground and he was kicking you, and the kids just stood by and you felt so betrayed and abandoned, and this kid was doing this and humiliating you and hurting you and scaring you, and you had massive soul loss over this. And so this is just an example of what I might be seeing and experiencing. And the power animals are collecting the soul pieces, and I'm saying this out loud, and you can confirm it or correct it and say, oh, no, that never happened, but I did witness something like that. And in witness, then once you say that, spirit might start filling in the blanks and saying, oh, yeah, and witnessing it was just as bad as experiencing it. Or maybe you might say, yes, definitely, I had a bully that beat me up in seventh grade, and I never got over it. And not only that, when the teacher came out, she punished me as much as she did him. In fact, she believed him over me, and I never got over that either. And then spirit will start filling in and saying, yeah, and that is, this was one of the core issues in this lifetime of your loss of confidence and your loss of self-worth and your loss of faith in authorities. And they'll start giving you the story behind the story and explaining to you what that soul loss did to you, how it depleted you. And then they'll let you know, now you're getting these soul pieces back. Today you're going to get these back, and this is going to help you with your self-confidence and your self-esteem. And then once that scene is over, the power animals start walking again, and we are trained always to follow the power animal, no matter what. So even if you're in a journey, and they're talking to a very important, you're talking to a very important figure, which often occurs in my journey. I work a lot with Chief Red Cloud, and I'll be talking to Chief Red Cloud, and all of a sudden my panther takes off and is walking away. And so I motion to Chief Red Cloud, I've got to follow my power animal. And spirit knows, those who come and work with you in journeys, they know that that's your primary objectives, that it's your first priority is to stay with your power animal. And so I will follow the power animal and walk away from Chief Red Cloud, waving goodbye, and here we go. And the power animal is now taking me to some other important scene. And I'll always, you know, it's funny because it's always an important reason why they did that. There's something else they want to show you that's critically important and giving you good information. And so, so in a soul retrieval, once those power animals leave that playground that we just collected all the soul pieces from, I must follow them. So I know that we're finished in this part of your life. We're moving on now. And I think, Sherry, you probably heard me say a number of times, what else do I need to see that's most in alignment with Sherry's intention? And then they will start walking again, and we will go into another flat screen TV kind of picture. And maybe this time it could be, you know, we've moved on down the line. Sometimes they go chronologically, and sometimes they bounce around. Today they bounced around in this soul retrieval that I did today. And so all of a sudden I went from, I think, I went from a time in this person's life when she was a child to a kitchen where she was with her grandmother, and it was all about the grandmother having a message. And so sometimes it's chronological, though. We'll go from elementary school to high school, and then the next thing I know, we're at your wedding. The next thing I know, we're at your first job out of college, and it's very chronological. And other times, it's not chronological at all. It's more in alignment with how important the soul pieces are. So this person happened to be someone who had been adopted. So they kept bouncing around, showing me different aspects of different family members and why it was important that she came into this lifetime as a child who was not with her biological parents, and what that did for her and what that gave her. And so it's just fascinating because every soul retrieval is very different. But once we leave one lifetime, we go to the next scene that's important. And by the end of the soul retrieval, by the time the intention has been fulfilled, Spirit lets me know that, okay, we've done enough journeys. We've visited enough places now to collect soul pieces that we can now blow these soul pieces back into this person. And they'll tell me where, whether it's the head or the heart or where to blow these in. I rattle over the person to open an energetic portal, blow in the soul pieces, and then close the energetic portal. And then we go on to another part of the ceremony that is called the forgiveness ceremony. And it's a very, very beautiful, very loving ceremony. And then towards the end of that ceremony is when the power animals leave the sacred space and come back in with your power animal.
I had a question going back a little bit on curses. How are curses initiated? I mean, is that like, when I think of a curse, I think of somebody evil casting a curse. I guess I find it kind of troublesome that they can cross over different lifetimes. That sounds
What's
kind of
signature?
Haunting.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing. This is what I've loved so much about studying shamanism and energy medicine, is that in our society today, we let fly curses all the time, all the time. If you've been watching the presidential elections, Trump and Hillary are cursing each other half to death. You know, a curse is an energetic vibration, for the most part. So whenever you say something with great emotion and great energy and great force and power behind it, you've just thrown a bunch of negative energy on someone that can stick. And so words are vibrations. And even in the Bible, in John, it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. Well, words are extremely powerful. They have an energetic charge. They have a vibration. They are how life is manifested into 3D-dimensional reality, vibration and energy and frequency. And speaking the word and imagining things and bringing them in. So if you think of the word imagination, it's the word, actually it breaks down to image in. And so everything in the world, in our three-dimensional reality, was first a foggy little vision in an image in our brain, in our mind, before we imaged it in, we imagined it into three-dimensional reality. So that wonderful car that you've always wanted to own on the lot, on the new car lot, that did not exist until the designers started imagining it, envisioning it, and drawing it out on a piece of paper, and then figuring out how to engineer it and how to get it manufactured and bring it into physical three-dimensional reality. And so it's the same with purses in a core way. There are different kinds of curses. There are curses that are very formal and have very formal steps to them, and some of the most powerful curses use blood or hair or something the person owns. And then there are very common curses that we do every day, yelling at somebody in traffic and sending them our bad vibes, you know, and giving them the evil eye and maybe flipping them off or cursing at them as they drive by, shaking our fist at them. Those are energetic curses. So there are different types of curses, and they're unraveled and neutralized in different ways. And the way that they come from lifetime to lifetime is that they have a charge to them. They have a signature. And a lot of times the person is not aware that they were cursed. They just know that they encounter a lot of bad fortune. And one thing that was mind-blowing for me was when I worked with a Vietnam veteran. And he was a very dear soul. I just thought the world of him. His name is John. And he came to it for a soul retrieval. And I had no idea that there was a curse on John. I just knew that he had had a lot of soul loss because he had never really gotten over the Vietnam War. And that's true of most of our Vietnam veterans. And so they not only encountered a terrible situation in Vietnam, but when they came home, our own people, their own people, and their own country did not treat them very well and even kind of cursed them in that way. But what came very clear in John's soul retrieval and also showed up in other soul retrievals with Vietnam veterans is a curse that was, you know, it looked like a web through the air. And I kept asking Spirit, what is this? What is this? I had never encountered that before. And I was told that this was a curse that was put on John when he was in Vietnam. And I said, how? By who? You know, why? And they explained that when our guys were in Vietnam, the Vietnamese men were fighting them with weapons and strategy, and traditionally, like, you know, men fight in wars with weapons. But the women of the country, the women and the healers and the medicine women and the religious women and the grandmas, they were fighting our men in our country with prayer and ceremony and curses and wanting favor for their men and disfavor for our men. And they did this, you know, in a very consistent way, very, very powerfully, all of them. That was their way of protecting their men. Just like when our men go to war, we pray for them and we pray for protection for them and we hope good favor for them and we hope that they're, you know, I just did a soul retrieval for someone the other day whose son had a whole band of Indian protectors and warriors around his troop in Desert Storm. And I saw very clearly that these Indians were around their convoy and escorted them safely and across the border to safety. And so so there are ways to have prayer and good favor and call on protection and good spirits to assist. And then there are ways to call on spirit, you know, and energy and vibration to be negative and to, you know, cause a weakness or negativity around the people. So this particular curse, from what I was seeing and what I was being told, was to be a lifetime curse on these any of the men that were striking out against their country and their men. And sure enough, you know, our men came home, and it's been a lifetime of them trying to overcome how debilitating that war was for them.
Can it ever be lifted? Or sometimes can curses also be, is something that is it has to be, you know, one generation after another?
They can be lifted by practitioners who know how to do it and who are well versed in working with spirit and doing this type of ceremony. For shamanic practitioners, and I call myself a medicine woman. I don't call myself a shaman, because shaman traditionally is a title of honor to someone who has done a lifetime of work and had good results. And it's usually a title bestowed upon you by your community and your peers. And so I always call myself a medicine woman, but medicine women, medicine men, energy workers, shamans are all trained to unravel curses, because it's a pretty common thing with human beings to use our power and our words and our vibration, our energy fields for good and for bad, you know, for wishing our enemy to not be successful and for wishing our comrades to be successful and have good favor. And so it's when you start looking at the world from an energy perspective, you know, from frequency, vibration, and energy perspective, it all becomes much more clear, much more clear about how curses are formed and how they can be unraveled. And so when you're taught to work with your spirit allies and your power animals, you know that they know, they are the experts. They absolutely know exactly what has to be done. So that's why you spend so much time partnering with your power animal and getting to know them so intimately and so powerfully that you become a well-oiled machine. You become a precision instrument. You can read them. You know their language. You know their metaphors. You know what they're telling you to do, what they're telling you not to do, and you follow their lead. You know, so a medicine woman or medicine man spend a lot of time really working day and night all the time with their power animal and taking their lead from the power animal, never leaving home without the power animal, never going into ceremony without the power animal, and trusting that power animal to lead you and where you need to go and what you need to do. And so your job is to become the hollow bone, to become the crystal clear channel, so that you're so connected and powered up with spirit, and so well tuned and partnered with your power animal that spirit is doing the work. And spirit's leading you and guiding you. And you are, like I said, a precision instrument. You know exactly where they're telling you to go, what they're telling you to say, what they're telling you to do to bring in the most beneficial outcome.
Well, we're just about out of time. Is there a way people can contact you, a website, information to get a reading from you?
Absolutely. My website is AnneliaJackson.com. So that's A-N-N-E-L-E-A-H-J-A-X-S-O-N www.ryanen.com. And my email address is info@analeahjackson.com. And I'm happy to, once you see the website, I'm also a Karuna Holy Fire Reiki Master, and I also am a certified hypnotherapist, and I do animal communication. I read tarot cards. So there are many, many different things I can offer and that I do. But soul retrieval and journeying and past life journeys are actually my favorite work and the work that I see great results and healing come from.
Well, it sounds like it really helps people back on track. And I know this has been very educational for me, learning about curses and power animals and soul retrieval. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your skills and your experiences with us this evening.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
It's been wonderful. I learned a lot. Thank you so much, Analeah, for your time and being able to be able to share your knowledge and your information to those that might be interested in the shamanic journey. And I have to say, personally, you did a wonderful job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And there are a lot of testimonials on the website for if anyone's interested to see what other people have said.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, again, thank you for coming on the show, and hopefully we can have you back to cover some.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
All righty. Have a great night.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Boy, that hour went fast, Jason.
It sure did, and it kind of provokes me a little bit. I know the people that were in combat could have curses from the opposing forces or the opposing force. It's something that never in my brain, and it kind of makes sense. And the whole thing about, our voice and energy. So I kind of dig it. I kind of believe it, words are power.
They are, definitely, and we have to be careful with our words. At least be mindful before we speak, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the way society is currently, people are just hot-headed and say terrible things because everything's a competition and ego is overpowering and all that. And what people probably don't realize is that some of that stuff can have a lasting effect, and apparently even across lifetimes. So anybody listening out there, like Sherry said, choose your words.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, everybody, for your listening and spending the time to support us and your participation. So we're going to have to conclude, and hopefully we will be back next Sunday. And thank you for just being around. So,
yeah, thanks, everybody, for coming in and listening to the show. And next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, and hope everybody has a great week. Good night.
Take care. Peace. Bye-bye, everybody.